Now, there are some sins that we Christians just want to ignore. We want to pretend that it's not a sin. That we want to pretend they're not sins. Surely that can't be a sin, Lord. I mean, you know, so many people are doing it, and it's just human nature. And if it is a sin, it can't be too serious a sin. But we're going to look at one sin that falls into this category this morning. And it's not the sin of gluttony, although it could be. But it is the sin that even hits closer home than that. The sin of complaining. The sin of grumbling. The sin of griping. Yes, it is the sin. Over in the book of Jude, that's the little book right before Revelation. In verse 16, Jude is speaking of the judgment that will fall on the ungodly. Notice he puts the grumblers in the camp of the ungodly. Jude 16. We'll pick up with the last part. I'll pick up with verse 15. To execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Pretty clear he's talking about ungodly, right? These are grumblers. Amen, O me. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lust. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul gives us a command, do all things without grumbling or disputing. And then our text today, a passage that you read last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. God saw grumbling as serious enough that He considered it a capital offense. In chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, we see that grumbling is lumped in with some other sins that we call big sins. Beginning with verse 1, 1 Corinthians 10. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. He's talking about when they came out of Exodus and they came through the Red Sea and they were under that canopy, the cloud that God provided for them. And they all ate the same spiritual food, and they all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, though they had all those spiritual advantages, he says, nevertheless, with most of them God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. And that's a euphemism for died in the wilderness. Now these things happened as an example for us. So he's saying, look, that's an example to us. Take note. That we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drank and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor, what's that next word? Grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. God groups grumbling in the same camp with the idolaters and the immoral and those who test God. That leads me to a simple conclusion that grumbling is a serious sin in the eyes of God. It may not be that serious to us, but it is serious to God. We're going to examine this sin today, and I want you to ask yourself, am I guilty of grumbling and complaining? First, what is grumbling? Let's look at the New Testament word and then the Old Testament word, because it's mentioned in both Testaments. The New Testament word is the Greek word gonguzo. It means to mutter, to murmur, to speak in low tones, to utter sullen discontent. The word was used of the cooing of doves. It's kind of that murmuring sound that goes through a crowd that's upset or dissatisfied about something. The Hebrew Old Testament, the word murmur means to express resentment or dissatisfaction, anger or complaints in half-muttered tones. So basically, grumbling is complaining and murmuring against God because of the way He is working in our lives. It is a discontentment and dissatisfaction with what God's doing in your life. And many times this dissatisfaction and discontentment is focused toward the authorities that God's placed in our lives. Maybe our parents. Maybe our boss. Maybe our husbands. Maybe our teachers. But God, it is a discontentment that is actually toward God, as we will see. Now let's look at three examples of the grumblings of Israel. Paul mentions that because of their grumbling, God killed some of them. Well, there are three instances in the Old Testament where God killed some of the Israelites because of their complaining and grumbling. So I think it would be beneficial for us to look at these three and see what conclusions we can draw from them. Now, what we will see from these three examples is that there are certain times that we need to particularly be on guard against the temptation to grumble. There are certain situations that we find ourselves in that particularly give themselves to the occasion for us to grumble. And we're going to see that that was the case with the Israelites, and you and I need to be on special guard when we find these occasions. The first case is found over in Numbers chapter 14. And when we need to especially be careful about grumbling and complaining is when things don't meet our expectations. When we find ourselves disappointed. When we find ourselves frustrated about something. It might be you're frustrated at your parents because they didn't buy you that new car when you turned 16. They didn't even buy you an old car when you turned 16. And you thought they would. All your friends were getting a car, right? Or maybe you were frustrated with your boss because he didn't give you that promotion that you deserved and should have given you. So you're disappointed and you're frustrated and you have unmet expectations. That was the case with Israel. They had come out of Egypt. God said, I have a land flowing with milk and honey waiting for you. Now, they'd been in some pretty adverse circumstances in Egypt. They were slaves. They had experienced some particular hardships right before they left. And they had been in the desert wandering now for several months. And they had seen times when they didn't have anything to drink. They had seen times when they didn't have anything to eat. And God provided food for them as He did drink. But all this time, Moses kept saying, hey, hold on, guys. There's a land flowing with milk and honey just waiting. Now we can only imagine what they might have been dreaming about as they were sleeping on that desert floor waiting to get to that great place flowing with milk and honey. But guess what? When they got there and they sent 12 spies out to check out the place, when the 12 spies came back, They said, there's a problem. Oh yeah, there's honey and there's plenty of milk. But they're giants. And we're just like grasshoppers in their sight. Now, here are these people that have been dreaming of this land flowing with milk and honey, couldn't wait to get there. And here they are, here that they're giants there. And boy, their expectation is unmet. They get disappointed, they get frustrated, and they begin to grumble and complain. And we pick up their grumbling in verse 2 of Numbers 14. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into the land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" And they said to one another, "Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt." They said, "Man, it'd have been better if we had just died in Egypt or even died in the wilderness. Why did we come all this way just to go in to the promised land and die there at the hands of these giants? And after all, our children and our wives are just going to be taken as spoils of war and made slaves." Well, God didn't take real kindly to their grumbling and complaining. Look at the judgment that comes upon them beginning in verse 26. "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 'How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me?'" Now, wait a minute. You just read that they were grumbling to Moses and Aaron. And now God says they're grumbling against Him. I didn't hear them talking to God, did you? Well, you understand, don't you? When you grumble against the authority God's placed in your life, you're really grumbling against Him. That boss, that school teacher, your parents, your husband. "I have heard the complaints of the sons of Israel which they are making against me. Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men according to your complete number, from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me.'" Watch what you say to God. Watch what you say against your authorities. They said it would have been better for us to die in the wilderness. God said, "Okay. You'll die in the wilderness then. I heard you." Everyone who had voted not to go in, and those were the men 20 years and older, not a single one, not one of those men ever stepped one foot in the promised land. Only Caleb and Joshua, the two spies who said, "We can go in, God will give us the land, He's promised to do it," got to go in. God took the judgment very seriously. Look in verse 36. "As for the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, and who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing out a bad report concerning the land, even those men who brought out the very bad report of the land died by a plague before the Lord." So God killed them instantly. I would say God takes grumbling seriously, wouldn't you? Are you frustrated? Are you disappointed about something in your life? Are things not turning out like you thought they would? And therefore, you're grumbling, complaining. "Well, my husband's just not understanding enough. Or my wife's just not responsive to my needs. My parents just don't understand me. They won't let me have any fun at all. Or my boss is just unreasonable." And you start complaining. You start grumbling. Be careful what you say. It's better to have no job than to be complaining about the one you have. God might just take you serious and give you what you're complaining about. A couple of chapters over in number 16, we get the second occasion. First occasion is be careful when you're frustrated, disappointed, you have unmet expectations. Things didn't come out like you planned. Be careful. That's a temptation to grumble and complain. Second situation, when you become envious or jealous of what somebody else has, the temptation is to complain and to grumble. Well, God, they got a better house. Why can't I have a house like that? God, why can't I make as much money as he makes? This just isn't right. This just isn't fair. You just don't care about me. You just don't love me, God. Why is their family always so happy? Why do they have a better job than I have? And you start complaining. Well, it seems that there were some of the Levites, three men by the name of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and 250 of their fellow Levites. Now remember, the Levites were a privileged tribe of people. They were chosen to be the tribe that handled the sacred things of the tabernacle. They were the ones that transported the Ark of the Covenant. They were the ones that transported the altar of incense and the candlestick and the table in which the showbread was placed. I mean, they had a privileged position. And from the Levites, there were a special group, Aaron and his sons, who were the priests. Well, Korah and Dathan and Abiram wanted to be priests. They were not content just to be Levites. They were envious of Aaron and his sons, and so they began to grumble. Look over in verse 3 of Numbers 16. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You've gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" Now, had they chosen themselves to be priests? No, God had chosen them to be priests, but these guys want to be priests too, so they accuse them of elevating themselves. Look also in verses 13 and 14. "It is not enough that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to have us die in the wilderness, but you would also lord it over us. Indeed, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor have you given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Would you put out the eyes of these men? Will you not come up?" Excuse me. "Will we not come up? We will not come up." There you go. Now, did you notice what they said at the beginning? "You took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey." Now, wait a minute. I never heard them refer to Egypt as a place flowing with milk and honey, had you? But you see, that's the way it is when you get envious. And you start complaining and you start grumbling. You just start twisting things all around. And, well, you know, that other job was better than this one. But that was one you were complaining and fussing about to the Lord. "Lord, just get me out of this job. Just get me a new job. You know, this husband is worse than the last one." And you were saying, "Lord, just get me another one. This boyfriend's worse than the last one. Lord, they're not taking us up. You promised you'd take us to a place of flowing with milk and honey, and not only are you not doing that, but you're killing us out here." They were envious, and they began to grumble, and they began to complain. Are you grumbling because of envy in your life? Maybe you're envious of someone and what they have. You're grumbling to the Lord, "Why can't I have that? Why can't I be married? All my friends are. Why can't I have children? All my friends do." and just complain, and grumble. Why can't I have that job that they have? They get all those holidays, all that sick time, that big salary. Why can't I have that? And we grumble. Look in verses 28 and following, and we'll see the judgment that God placed upon them. In verse 32, "And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and all the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive to Sheol. And the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And all Israel who were around them fled at their outcry, for they said, 'The earth may swallow us up.' Fire also came forth from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense." God took it seriously, didn't He? He caused the earth to open, an earthquake, and Korah and Dathan and Abiram and all of their household and their possessions fell into the crevice, and then God closed it back. I think God was speaking pretty loudly, don't you? And if that wasn't enough, He sent fire down and consumed those 250 that had rebelled with them. Are you grumbling against God? And then the third occasion is found in that same chapter. And the occasion here is when we consider things to be unfair or unjust. Or perhaps when there is an untimely death, maybe of someone we love. Or we see someone being punished, or we see things happening to people and we think that's just not fair, that's just not just. Well, when these 250 and Korah and Dathan and Abiram's family were killed, the people grumbled. The people complained. Verse 41, "But on the next day, all the congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, 'You're the ones who caused the death of the Lord's people.'" Now think about that. You, Aaron and Moses, caused the death of these people? Does that make sense to you? Who were the ones that were grumbling? Who were the ones that were complaining? Who were the ones who were rebelling? It wasn't Moses and Aaron. But that's just like people. They want to blame somebody else rather than taking responsibility or placing the responsibility where it should be. Those rebels caused their own death by their behavior, by their complaining and grumbling. But you know, we do the same thing when we blame God because of some sinful person's action. Somebody gets killed by a drunk driver and we get mad at God. Get mad at the drunk driver. Get mad at the devil if you want to. God didn't make the fella get drunk and get in his car. But we want to get mad at God. God, you caused this. Why didn't you stop this from happening? Why is there so much crime everywhere? Don't blame God. Blame the devil. Blame Satan. And then the judgment of God fell upon them in verse 49. "But those who died by the plague were 14,700, besides those who died on account of Korah." This time God sent swift punishment and judgment. It was only the intercession of Aaron that saved the rest of them. So is grumbling and complaining a sin? Oh, yes. Does God take it seriously? Oh, yes. Well, why does God take it so seriously? Why does it deserve such extreme judgment? Well, first, Because it is a slap in the face of God's sovereignty. We complain because we don't like the way God's running things. We don't like the way things are going. We think we could do a better job. And so we complain. And it's a slap in the face of God's sovereignty. You're saying, God, you're in control, but I don't like what you're doing. Secondly, it casts aspersions on God's character. Grumbling casts aspersions on God's love, on God's wisdom, on God's goodness, and on God's justice. When we grumble, we don't think God's really good to us. If we did, we wouldn't grumble. When we complain, we don't think God's really doing the best thing in our lives, as we saw last week. We don't think His wisdom is operating. When we complain, we don't really think God is acting loving toward us. If we did, we wouldn't complain, would we? So it casts aspersions on God's character. Thirdly, it is a refusal to believe God's Word. We saw last week where God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. We saw that. Now, when you grumble and complain, it's because you don't believe that promise in God's Word. Because if you believed God was causing this to work together for good, you wouldn't grumble. You wouldn't complain. You'd thank God for it. Because you would know it was working for your spiritual Christ-likeness. Well, what's the cure for grumbling? Well, preacher, that's the problem, but what's the cure? The cure is the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Turn over to Psalm 69. The sacrifice of thanksgiving is the cure. Sometime read this entire psalm. The writer was going through some difficult times. Very difficult. David was being rejected by his family, by his friends. We'll just pick up in verse 29, where he says, "But I am afflicted and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify Him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox or young bull with horns and hoofs." The sacrifice of thanksgiving is when we give thanks to God in tragic circumstances. When we're enduring hardships and difficulties, when we're frustrated, when our expectations are not met, when we are disappointed. David said he was afflicted and in pain. When the situation looks hopeless, as it looks like absolutely no human reason why you should thank God, then you offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You thank Him. You praise Him. When everything in you says grumble, complain, instead you thank God. David said it would please God when he did this more than if he were offering the sacrifice of an ox or a young bull. He said this sacrifice of thanksgiving was more precious to God than the animal sacrifices. Now, why is it called a sacrifice of thanksgiving? It's called a sacrifice of thanksgiving because you have to sacrifice your human reaction to give it. First, you've got to sacrifice your human reason. You cannot see any reason to thank God in this situation. Secondly, you've got to sacrifice your human emotions. You don't feel like thanking God in this situation. Everything in you says complain and grumble. And thirdly, you must sacrifice your human will. Because the truth is, you do not want to thank God in this situation. You want to complain. You want to grumble. But you sacrifice your mind, your will, and your emotions, and by faith, you thank God in your difficulty. And you don't complain. You don't grumble. You're thanking God. You can say, "God, I don't understand. Hey, I'm sacrificing my mind here. God, I don't feel like thanking you. I'm sacrificing my emotions. God, I don't even want to thank you in this. I'm sacrificing my will. I admit all that. But in faith, I thank you for it. And tell him the situation. It pleases God. It honors God. It honors Him first because it shows your faith in God. Your faith affirms God's love and His wisdom and His power. Your faith affirms that He will cause all things to work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. You affirm that what has come into your life is from His loving, sovereign, all-wise hand. It honors God because it shows your obedience to God. The Bible commands us to give thanks in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. How differently it would have been for Israel if they had offered the sacrifice of thanksgiving rather than complaining and grumbling as we saw. Imagine how much better it would have been when the spies came back and said there are giants in that land flowing with milk and honey. And when one voice they had all raised up, thank you, God. Thank you for the giants. Because we know you are the one who will give us the land. We know you're able. Those giants are nothing for you. You've promised. We believe it. We're not going to grumble and complain. We're going to thank you. How differently would it have been? How differently will it be for you when you stop complaining and you stop grumbling and you start offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving instead? Are you grumbling about something in your life? Are you complaining? Are you dissatisfied? Are you frustrated? Are you disappointed? Do you have unmet expectations? You have a choice. You can either grumble and complain, which is a serious sin in God's eyes, or you can choose to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Which will it be? Complaining or thanksgiving? Let's pray. Father, forgive us when we complain and grumble. And may we, by faith and commitment, take a stand against that in our lives this day and choose to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving instead of the abomination of complaining and grumbling. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you an opportunity to respond as the Holy Spirit has dealt with you today. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me give you that opportunity today. Call on the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. If you believe that He died for you, was the perfect sacrifice and payment for your sins, and that He rose again from the dead, and He is reigning as Lord today, and you're willing to submit your will to His will as Lord of your life, trusting Him as your Savior, then would you step out? I'd love to pray with you and introduce you to Jesus today. You can go away from here a changed person, a new creation in Christ. Maybe you need to do business with God in your pews. If He's convicted you today, you need to spend some time with Him. Maybe you need to come and pray. You just be obedient to the Holy Spirit.